I'm one of your hosts, Rich Feibelman. Today we're diving into the vital work of the Mississippi River Commission, a presidentially appointed body tasked with overseeing one of the most critical waterways in the United States, the Mississippi River. The MRC is presided over by a general officer of the Army who also has the responsibility of commanding the Mississippi Valley Division of the Corps of Engineers. There are two other Army officers on the commission, one National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Admiral, and three civilian members, two of which are engineers and one industry representative. The MRC plays a key role in navigation, flood control, recreation, and environmental sustainability along the river. This week, the commission is conducting its annual low water inspection trip, a tradition that dates back to 1882. We're coming to you today from the motor vessel Mississippi, the flagship of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers fleet within the Mississippi Valley Division. Joining us today as we conclude the 2025 low water inspection trip is Dr. Robert Miller, a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and Assistant Director of the Watershed Flood Center at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, also a member of the Mississippi River Commission. He will share insights into the Commission's mission, the importance of these inspection trips, and how their work impacts communities along the river. So let's get into it. Dr. Miller, I'd like to start by having you tell our audience more about yourself and your role within the Mississippi River.
Thanks, Rich. I am a professor, as you mentioned. I'm also a civil engineer, so I'm one of three civilian members on the Mississippi River Commission. And I was born and raised in New Iberia, Louisiana, and I'm currently in Lafayette, Louisiana. My background is civil engineering and hydrology, and so this is a great opportunity for me to serve on the commission.
We're really excited to have you today. The Mississippi River Commission has a long history dating back to its establishment in 1879. Can you tell us about the commission's purpose and how it serves the nation? How have you directly witnessed its impacts on the nation?
The Mississippi River Commission basically has four tenets. And the first one is listening, where we hear the problems of our partners and stakeholders firsthand on inspection trips and in their community. Second is inspecting. So we're on an inspection trip, one of two annual inspection trips. We use the trip in various engagements to see firsthand their issues, but also the execution that's being done by U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in conjunction with number three, which is partnering, which includes working with our partners to execute plans to improve the system, the Mississippi River and Tributaries Project, and finally delivering world-class engineering through the Army Corps of Engineers.
The concept of these inspection trips, like the one that we're currently on, is a fascinating tradition. Can you explain what happens during these trips and why they're so important?
Well, firstly, it provides a formal setting for the public to engage the commission, and it's so important for individuals to come together on the water and to actually see the problems firsthand and speak firsthand with one another, looking at each other in the eyes to really understand. It gives an opportunity to engage with the public and partners. Also, in less formal settings, we go off the boat and we see the problems with the partners and the winds as well. And finally, the commission visits and inspects projects and various industry operations to get an understanding of what the system needs to be in the future as well to serve the people.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. So in just 3 years, the 1928 Flood Control Act, which authorized the Mississippi River and Tributaries Project, will celebrate its 100th anniversary. What does this milestone mean for the organization and the communities it serves?
It represents, first and foremost, I would say 100 years of success. And I would also mention that we have built upon the work of many partners throughout the basin. And so it's a shared success amongst all. It's not just the commission, but it's all the partners throughout. It is a system that performs as designed through numerous major tests. And I would mention I'm from Louisiana, so this system actually protects 3 out of 4 people in this state, just to give you an idea of the scale of what we're doing. And finally, communities should have confidence in their government partners that design and maintain this massive system.
So looking back over the commission's history, from the beginning in 1879, what are some of the most significant achievements or moments that stand out to you?
Well, I would point to, for example, the creation of a comprehensive river management system, which basically ran from the 1880s to the 1900s. That was the idea. The Mississippi River Commission was formed in 1879. So that was the work that led up to. And then, of course, there was the great flood of the 1927 Then there was the response with the Flood Control Act of 28. You also look at the Mississippi River and Tributaries Project, which is perhaps the largest thing that has been ever created by human beings from 1928 until present. It's still an ongoing project. The navigation improvements that support reliable commerce throughout the system that supports not only U.S. trade and commerce, but also worldwide markets. We have now, within the 20th to 21st century, environmental and ecosystem management, and we've demonstrated resilience through major floods. We have, think right offhand, the 73 flood, 2011, 2016 through 2020.
So the MRC has been instrumental in shaping the Mississippi River's role in navigation, flood control, and recreation, and environmental stewardship. How has the commission evolved over the years to address new challenges such as more frequent flooding, droughts, and overall demands on the usage of the river?
Well, that's a great question. The MRC was originally created to improve navigation and prevent flooding along the Mississippi River. We've gone through infrastructure upgrades. The MRC has overseen continuous improvements to the levees, raising and strengthening them to withstand higher flood stages. For instance, post-2011, flood assessments led to reinforced levee designs in vulnerable areas. Another one of the improvements through time is data-driven management. The MRC now uses advanced hydrologic modeling and real-time data to predict flood risks and optimize responses. We can look at the Bonnie Carey spillway as an example from this previous flood season. Partnerships with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and NOAA have enhanced forecasting capabilities. We've gone through navigation improvements. The MRC has deepened and widened channels in some areas, for example, maintaining a 12-foot channel in parts of the lower Mississippi to accommodate the larger vessels and increased traffic of the modern supply chain. You can look at lock and dam maintenance. The MRC collaborates with the Corps to maintain and modernize lock and dam systems, reducing delays for barges. For example, upgrades to locks like those on the upper Mississippi address the bottlenecks. We're talking also about stakeholder engagement, and I think this is really where the innovation happens. The MRC works through public hearings. We hold the hearings, which are mandated since our founding, to incorporate inputs from farmers, shippers, and communities, ensuring management aligns with diverse needs, and also even just general public. If there's a problem, you know, the public can come and bring those problems to the commission, and we can look for solutions. We work through interagency partnerships, working with the Army Corps, USGS, EPA, local governments to align strategies. And a recent example is the 2011 flood response, which involved coordinated efforts across agencies to manage spillways and evacuations. And I've mentioned the part about public engagement. We have two public meetings along the river, biannual public meetings to ensure transparency. Anyone can come and register and testify and see the proceedings. And we incorporate the local knowledge, the new innovations, the key things that we need to have a hand on so that we can continue to progress into the future. And speaking of future technology integration, the system is much different than it has been in the past in terms of what we use to monitor and model and get after some of the challenges throughout the basin.
What I find so incredible is the vision of the folks that established this commission so many years ago and how they structured this to be a blend of military and civilian makeup. The commission is presided over by a general officer that is the commander of the Mississippi Valley Division within the Corps of Engineers, two other general officers that are a part of the commission, and three civilian members, along with a member from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The ability and the composition of that blend really lends itself to being able to do just as you indicated, evolve as the world evolves and yes. The river evolves, and it's really quite incredible. Mm-hmm. The Mississippi River is a lifeline for navigation, agriculture, flood control, as we've said. How does the commission balance these competing priorities while addressing concerns that are brought up from local communities on and near the river?
You know, Rich, that is a key point that I believe the commission addresses, is you have competing priorities and objectives that change with time. Every day there's a new aspect that the system needs to be able to support. So when you look at the Mississippi River, it's a global trade artery. It moves over, I believe, $400 billion in goods annually. And that includes 92% of U.S. agricultural exports. Maintaining a navigable channel is a core MRC mandate in addition to the flood control and the flood response. The river supports irrigation, transport of crops, and fertile floodplains critical to the Midwestern and Southern agriculture. The Mississippi River and tributaries, which we would usually term the MR&T project, It protects over 4 million people and 1.5 million structures across 35,000 square miles from flooding. And I would have to say I'm one of the people that's protected by that system down in South Louisiana. Yes. Yes. So it is very personal in that regard. And I would say that our ability to balance those priorities hinge on engagement and direct communications and hearing the partners and seeing the issues and also the innovations. Really, that's how we move forward.
Can you walk us through a specific project or initiative where the MRC's work has had a transformative impact on a particular community or region?
There are a few we've heard about and seen this past week, for example. One is in particular the levee slides, and we went up to the Tensaw Basin and we were able to see levee slides being repaired and seeing how that has improved the community and the partner's ability to maintain that system. And that was a major issue that we've heard over the last year or year and a half. And it was good to see that we finally got after that and were able to push that through.
Yeah, it's been a really great trip. You know, lots of really impactful work up and down the valley. Lots of really impassioned partners that are out there working with us to do the same things and achieve our mission of the MRT and the vision of that 1928 book. So what's ahead for the commission? Are there any initiatives, priorities, or partnerships you're particularly excited about as the MRT approaches its centennial anniversary in 2028?
There's so much ahead, right? And we think about the system as it's ongoing because the river changes and the needs change. But some of the ones I wanted to highlight was, you know, you look at the Lower Mississippi River Comp Study, which was unfunded, but it is an opportunity to optimize the system in many business lines should funding return. And we've also identified tiered studies that are going to come out of that so that specific areas can continue to be studied and to understand what the needs are in that regard. So those are some great takeaways from that project. There's also the Mekong Mississippi River Sisters Partnership, which I had an opportunity to visit Vietnam and Thailand last year and to see what they're doing down in the Mekong Delta, which has important similarities, but also key differences. And we can learn from that partnership in terms of water management and governance. You can look at the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, which we've been a part of as well. We've been to some of the meetings with them, and it's great to see the towns coming together in that regard. There's also the work by the Lower Mississippi River Conservation Commission that involves ecosystem restoration and environmental stewardship, and they're champions of that. But that also allows us to keep the navigation channel program and channel improvements going as well. And so that's a nice partnership. And we're excited also about the lock and dam upgrades on the upper river and the expansion on the main stem and tributaries so that we can have more capacity and efficiency to accommodate larger vessels, longer strings of barges, just to be able to support the economy in the next 100 years.
Finally, what message would you like listeners, especially members of the public and our audience, to walk away with when it comes to the importance of the Mississippi River and the Commission's work?
Rich, I would say that the commission is here to serve the public. That's really what we're here for. We are here to listen to your issues, whether they're big or whether they're small. We're here to partner with you, the public, to solve complex problems and improve the Mississippi River and the tributaries. The key message for the public is this: the MRC's work ensures the Mississippi River remains a resilient, sustainable resource for all, but its success depends on your voice and support. By engaging in the MRC's public hearings, advocating for sustainable policies, and recognizing the river's critical role, communities can help shape a future where the Mississippi thrives as a shared lifeline, ready for the challenges of climate change and beyond. The river connects us all. Its health is our health, and the MRC is our partner in that mission. If you'd like, I can provide ways to get involved with the MRC's public engagement efforts.
That sounds great. I'm certainly interested in continuing to advocate, and we will definitely take you up on that offer. Yep. as we continue down this journey. Personally, it's been an experience of a lifetime for me.
Yep.
To spend the last week or so with the commission along this trip, and one that I certainly will never forget, and I can only hope that one day down the road I'll get another opportunity to do so.
Absolutely.
Dr. Miller, thank you so much.
So
for
welcome.
Joining us today. Really appreciate you taking some time out. Got a busy day ahead of us, and so
sure.
I look forward to concluding this trip on a high note here down in Morgan City Louisiana. That wraps up this episode of Inside the Castle. A big thank you to Dr. Miller for joining us and for the work the Mississippi River Commission is doing every day to ensure the river remains a vital resource for navigation, flood control, recreation, and ecosystem restoration. The Mississippi River Commission is proof that when agencies work together to share goals and a focus on local needs, big things can happen. Whether it's flood control, supporting navigation, recreation, protecting the environment, the impact is real, and it reaches far beyond a single agency or a single project or a state or even a community. It's really important for the entire nation. We appreciate you and your insights. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and be part of the solution.